Blog Talk Radio.
Your brother Elohim live in a new color coming out of Philadelphia. Today, unbelievable. One of them days, they even had thrown upside down. Today, we're talking about money. Oh, my goodness. And that's something that we need to talk about. But first, let's talk about that love for a minute. I ain't going to say too much. I'm just letting you know that love is an action word. Love is the act to make us feel good, okay? Let me do my assertion. I walk the path of being honest and good, and I will keep my mind focused on what you show. By doing this, I'll be walking the path of the light, and I will get what I want. Now, let's just go through a couple of basics here. Why do we call it an assertion and not a prayer? Because Psalm 82, I'm going to bring this up almost every day. That's the key to understand the entire book. Psalm 82 said that men and women are gods, okay? So if you're a god, who are you praying to? See, that means that if you're a god, that means that you have dominion over everything. That means everything in the universe works for you. There's energy out there that produces a reap what you sow reaction to your thought process, okay? So if your thought process and you're trying to bring something to you, the universe will automatically go in motion to bring that to you, okay, through action and reaction. That's why they're trying to it's called reap what you sow, okay? Mm-hmm. There's a physical and a mental side to reap what you sow. So that's what that's called. That's why we say assertion. We're asserting into the universe what we want. We're not praying for it because we know we're going to get it because the universe literally works for us. That other thing works. So this is why they're trying to keep your mind distracted on so many different levels so that you don't really know what they're doing and what's going on, okay? So today is the day we talk about money, all right? Now remember, love is the act to make others feel good. Mentally and physically, if you're in a group or you're with somebody or whatever, you should constantly be thinking, what can I do today to make them feel good? And they should be constantly thinking, same for you. What should I do to make them feel good? Okay? And then you're in a feel-good relationship. And then in that case, it literally almost doesn't matter who you're with. Because whoever you're with, it's going to be great. Because they both have a very wonderful attitude towards each other. Okay, with that being said, today we're talking about money. We're talking about economics, okay? Economics is all over the Bible. What it actually takes us into Leviticus before we get to Exodus, because we need to know if they're setting up. See, now, this is what King James did. For those of you who literally don't know what King James was about, when the King James Version of the Bible is about. That's why they're trying to get you away from that version into all kinds of other different versions. I got four or five different versions of other Bible, other King James Version. But he laid out chronologically a step-by-step plan, okay, how to build an empire so that he knew that we were ruling Spain. We ruled Ireland. We ruled Britain. Blacks ruled Spain, Ireland, and Britain. Okay. King James was black. All right. So he knew a little something about building empires. You get where I'm coming from? So he laid out a step-by-step chronological methodology on how to build an empire so that we, as black folk, would never come under the slave master's whip again. But what did they do? Okay. We took the Bible and set it on the side, and we picked up the Quran. Now, the Quran is the Bible, but the step-by-step methodology to build is not in the Quran. That's in the Bible, okay? And once we put the Bible down and picked up the Quran, we started to lose our way because there's two practitioners in the Bible, the occult practitioner, which is the stories, and there's the power. And it's the power of the book, the reason why the stories were made in the first place. The stories are to get your attention so that you can get to the power portion of the book, okay? But now, once we put the Bible down, right, the Moors, okay, they were the most prominent group that were dealing with Spain, dealing with Britain. We told them so much. There's a lot of things they didn't know. They basically of what we would call savages. But they were still gods. So they had the ability to learn, upgrade, and do whatever they have to do because of who they are, or who they were, or who, well, I'm saying who they are, because we're still gods. They don't change the fact of who we are. We have the ability to design, make change, upgrade, whatever we're trying to do. What they did, they used the occult portion of the Bible to attack the occult portion of the Quran. And the stories in the Quran are somewhat similar to the stories in the Bible, but the power, the growth of power is different in the Quran than the Bible. So when they went into the occult portion of the book, they got rid of all of the black people, okay? They got rid of all of the black people who were in high positions, high deity and all that. They got rid of all of them, right? And then they started a different story about Jesus. All of the 12 disciples became, all of them became white. Jesus became white, you know what I mean? And with that, they used that to kick the Moors out of Britain, France, and Spain, all right? I'm just giving you an idea of King James and what King James brought to the table. See, we don't realize what King James brought to the table. And based on the stories that they have been giving us, all right, we can't hear anything that's being said about King James because he was a homosexual. They got, oh, man, the story they got is about this man. And then when they show you King James, they show this white King James. They did have a white King James, but he wasn't the King James that did the Bible. So it's different. Okay. Now, going into the money portion, all right? Well, let's keep this going. Because I like this dialogue where we are right now. Because we need to understand exactly what was on the mind of King James when he put this book together, his version. We put this book together, okay? First, the number one thing that you have to realize is who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, you're not going to be able to do squat. I'm telling you. You need to know who you are so that people can't come up and just tell you anything or what you're supposed to be doing and how you're supposed to be doing it because you know who you are. You know what you can do. You know what you're capable of, you know? Just like if you listen to the story of Malcolm X, his teacher told him, well, you need to find something that you can do, not being a lawyer and all that kind of stuff because he gave Malcolm X an impression that he wasn't capable of doing that. He had one guy telling another guy that you can't do like I do. You have to do like I tell you to. Basically, that's what he was saying. So Malcolm didn't know who he was. So Malcolm went into a tailspin. Next thing you know, he robbing, stealing, murdering people. Hey, what can I tell you? You know what I mean? He's following the example of the crooks that he's been around. You know, and he was around some crooks, you know. And based on what television is putting out, crooks are doing great. They live in lodges, got big houses, you know what I mean? You mess with them, they come get you, you know? And so the society is pushing an image at you, all right, which is a distraction from who you really are. They're distracting you from who you are, what you're supposed to be doing, and how you're supposed to be doing it, okay? Listen. You are the gods of this dimension, all right? Now, we're talking about money, right? What is money? Well, we're talking about economics, not just say money. I want to talk about economics because economics is so important. Economics, basically, and I'm going to cut through all the complications that they have on economics so that they can get that little $100,000 from you to go to college and learn the terminology that they're throwing on this stuff and make it complicated. Economics is basically somebody else working and paying you. Period. That's what economics is. We're talking about economics, okay? Now, if you're working and you have a product and you literally have to make this product yourself, okay? Every time somebody orders one, you don't have economics, you have a job, okay? But a job can bring you economics. Because right now you have people working and buying your product. So they're working and bringing you money. But you have to work to keep the product going. So when you get to the point that you can hire managers, sales reps, and all those people to work for you, whereas you just sit back and chill, now you have economics because you don't have to work. You have people working so that other people can work and pay you money. You follow what I'm saying? And so, wait a minute. I thought jobs was economics. No, jobs economics for the government. Think about it. When you work, how does the government benefit from you working? You work and you pay taxes. You're working and paying and giving the government money. That's how that works. You're working and giving the government money. Okay? So now, as we're going through the Bible, right, where in the Bible is it telling you how to begin charging people money for what's going on? You know, how was the priests and stuff getting paid for what they were doing? Go to Leviticus, all right? Now skip there. If we go to Leviticus, all right? That's why Leviticus is before Exodus. Because you have to have a revenue stream. See, in Exodus, that's where the centralized banking system comes in. But in Leviticus, you have to have a revenue stream in order to set up the bank. So where does their revenue stream come from? Every time somebody do something, every time something go wrong, they're fine. What kind of fine are they doing? They didn't have no money, so how were they fining people? What were they using for fines? You know, if a priest screwed up, he had to pay a cow. You know how much cows were, right? Other people have to pay chickens. They had to pay sheep. They had to pay, some of them had to pay meat. When they paid meat, it says right in the Bible, don't leaven the meat. You know, what do you mean by don't leaven the meat? Now, you know, you're not going to put no baking powder, no rising on a steak. They were talking about, when they talk about meat, they're talking about vegetables and fruits and stuff like that there, bread and everything. You know what I mean? They weren't talking about no flesh. When they're talking about meat, they're talking about meat that's described in Genesis, okay? It's telling you how to eat. You know, I think it was 129 in Genesis, okay? Here you are learning how to, all right? You're learning how to, okay, find people. So now the government, the people that are in charge, which would be the church, that would be the Levites, they were learning how to collect money from people. It doesn't matter whether it was the Levites or whoever it was. But the thing is, that's how they learned how to collect money from the people, all right? Because if the people were screwing up, and if you're screwing up, you had to be punished. And the punishment was a fine. You had to bring your little chicken or your little cows or sheep or whatever you had. If you didn't have enough, you had to work it off. you had to work off your little fine for messing up, for breaking the law, all right? So with that started the judicial process, okay? Your court system, all that comes about through fines and, because you have to have the rules and laws and all this stuff have to be set up before people can break them. And then once they break them, somebody has to manage who's going to find what, who's going to be the judge of this. It gets complicated, see what I'm saying, once you get started, you know? But this is where it all came from. It's set up in the Bible. Now, first part in Genesis is telling you who you are. Other people were here. How you made all this here stuff? Okay, that's what I was telling you. Somebody asked me the other day, and it was the first time somebody asked me a question to let me know that we can go out of Genesis into Leviticus and Exodus, you know? And it was a kid. Kid was 12 years old. He come up and said, oh, okay, I'm hearing all this stuff, but tell me, what came first, the chicken or the egg? I said, oh, boy, that's one of the type of questions I've been waiting for, all right? Because if we're talking about pre-Bible, right, one nothing, according to the Bible, the Bible is where everything was made. But if we're going pre-Bible, you know what I mean, we hadn't gotten to making planets and stuff yet. We were doing something else. Well, we weren't doing nothing else, but we hadn't gotten to making this solar system that we're in right now. Okay, so at this point, we're learning how to handle that money. That's why I set up this money first in Leviticus before you go into Numbers. See, Numbers is where you get your military from. Ooh, where you get the Social Security concept from. All that coming in the Numbers. But we're not going there today. We're just talking about money. But we're going to skip all the way down to the story of Joseph. Let's start there, okay? Now, what I want to do, I'm going to give you a step-by-step, okay, methodology. If you're poor, if you're working at McDonald's and Geno's and one of someone else's where you're making $10,000 a year of each job, you don't have to be out and out. You can afford, you'll be able to afford to go to college and everything else if you follow this plan, okay? We're talking about the 50% budget. Now, that comes to when Joseph rescued Kemet. He laid out the 50% budget, okay? Well, before I address that, I'm kind of bouncing all over the place. This has been one heck of a day. when he asked what came first, a chicken or an egg, that takes us back into when God was making the animals and stuff, you know? You don't make the mama cow. You don't make the baby cow before you make the mama cow. You know what I mean? You don't make the egg before you make the chicken. The first chicken, now listen carefully now, the first chicken was not made from an egg. The first chicken was made from your DNA. That's where the first chicken came from. And you, if you get into the subatomic nature of your DNA, they will find a mechanism, you know, boy, there's so much stuff inside this physical body. That's amazing. They will find a mechanism to make the grass, to make the insects, the mosquitoes, the alligators, the tarantulas, the everything, Tyrannosaurus Rex. All those designs are in your DNA. Okay? We're talking about the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? I just want to just a little different thought process. We're talking about the Ark of the Covenant. Covenant, right? Where he brought all the animals in into the ark. Once he had Noah and the children, he already had the ark, because every animal, insect on the planet, come from your DNA. You, the Noah and his children and his wife, that was the ark. I know you never heard nothing like this before. I'm telling you what was up. See, that's what I'm saying. You got the occult portion of the story. Now, everybody's running around talking about, well, they got animals in this part of the country. Now, how do they know about this? These animals didn't even exist when these people were here. And how do they know about this? And they're going back and forth and back and forth. But what they didn't realize is that the people themselves have the blueprint in their DNA to make every animal and insect on the planet, every tree, every blade of grass, it's all in your DNA. So with Noah, his wife, and his two children, that was the ark. You follow what I'm saying? And the Ark of the Covenant, that was the key to the whole thing. See what I'm saying? The covenant, you make a covenant with somebody that's in authority. You feel me? So somebody that was in authority, now, you know, we still, E.T. was still flying around. Our cousins up there were still coming down helping us out of the mess that we were in. You know, they told them, look, man, build a doggone ark. And the covenant was so that, see, that's, it's actually information, see? Once you have a certain thought process, you can hear certain things. It wasn't about the story. See what I'm saying? It's about what they could do with your DNA. But nobody's talking about it like that. We're looking for animals and insects. He's bringing all the witch comes in and they're eating milk. And, you know, the lions are drinking milk and honey. I mean, yeah. Hey, when you break it down like that, it gets a little complicated because there's a lot of animals on this planet. You know what I mean? But here's the thing. Noah and his family, that was the ark. From their DNA, you can draw every animal and insect on the planet because the blueprint for that is in their DNA. subatomically. You can't just go right into the DNA and find it. But they want to come to the knowledge as the, scientists have been called themselves, as they're growing into this information. I'm thinking, put down the Darwinian for a minute. They're come from so many different realities than what they have right now. So what I'm saying is that right now, you have in you all the blueprints for Tyrannosaurus Rex, Jurassic, whatever names they're giving all these animals out here. You have the blueprint in your DNA to reconstruct every insect and animal on the planet. Okay, they just haven't come to the they haven't come to the knowledge of how to do that yet. But it's there. You know, they begin cloning. They start to clone different things so they know what's going on. So anytime somebody asks you what came first, the chicken or the egg, the chicken came first. Because the first chicken didn't come from the egg. Okay, I'm just throwing it out there. We'll be talking about money. Here we go, right? sometimes I get a little carried away. Y'all have to excuse me. for those that are on the line, I want to thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you being here. You know. But this information is kind of tricky because everybody can't handle this information, you know, because of the stories you've been being fed all your life. Who would have thought that knowing a family was the actual ark? That was the covenant. You know what I mean? Not all those animals coming on the boat, eating lions, eating milk and honey and stuff, you know what I mean? But, you know. They just don't know. See, they didn't know who Noah was. They didn't know who Noah was. The way the story is framed, and you go against God, God going to destroy you, you know? That's true. But men and women are God. And we drop bombs and blow up a lot of people when they took their stuff over. You know, as the Indians, you know, it happens. God will destroy you, you know what I mean? If you don't set yourself up right, you know? So that's where we are right now. Now, right now, we're at the point of our commercial. So what I'm going to do at this point, okay, and then I'm going to get into the whole process step by step of what you can do if you're coming from a poor family, right? Nobody's been to college yet. No money floating around, you know? And what you can do to get yourself off the ground so that you can get, so that you can have a college education, you can get that discipline, all right, in the programming so that you can work higher positions and make more money, all right? This is Elohim 5 Tribe, Constellation of Fire, or Constellation of Elohim, as we call it. This is Elohim Speaks. We're on every day, 8 to 9. call in numbers 51, press 1 if you want to give us a shout-out, okay? We do not mention your name unless you want us to. We only use the last 4 digits of your phone number. If you have, if you have a business or something and you want us to give you a shout out and give your business a shout out, then feel free. You just let us know. And we don't charge for advertising on the show. We get back a little bit of something, okay? Monday, we talk about society news. Tuesday, we read from the Tyrannical Scriptures Complete Volume, that's the Secret Doctrine. On Wednesday, we deal with, what do we do on Wednesday? Wednesday, we deal with politics. Thursday is economics. Friday is health. Saturday is Black History in honor of our beloved brother Mac. Don't McIntyre, who's nature and vicious, coming from Legacy of the Nation. And on Sundays, we live in the Bible 2.0. But basically, we're going to be talking about the Bible every day. Because every one of these points that I just mentioned, we're going to go through a Bible thing to have you bring that into existence. I love to bring up Genesis because until you really realize who you are, it's going to be hard for us to come together and get out from under these negative people that want to make people slaves, you know? And trust me, we think they only make black people slaves. They don't care. They make anybody a slave. They just need slaves so they can stay wealthy. I got a CD on the market. It's called 911 Jesus Mercy. Jesus is coming. Okay. The link is cdbaby.com/cd/ElohimChrist2. And when you go to CD Baby, you can buy the CD or you can just buy one song if you want, if you like a particular song or album. Okay. So, go ahead and check it out. I'm also on YouTube. 911 Jesus of Mercy or in 10 tracks. You can listen to it on YouTube. Okay. Now we ask ourselves, Jesus coming back, where is he coming from? We believe he's coming from the same place he came from the first time, out of the goddess's womb. So you sisters out there, be mindful what you're dumping, okay? And there's controversy that's going on about Roe versus Wade. I promise that, because I think the baby is alive. As soon as it comes up, children got the perception that the baby's alive, so you can't get me in that one. We leave the, okay? So just remember, brother, big suit of makeup. Take care of them, okay? If y'all work with these sisters, take care of the baby, okay? And sisters, like I said, be mindful of the baby dumping. The other child you dump might be the one to get us out. Don't forget to check out my book, my scriptures part two, A Christ Has Come. Okay? That's in a CD or book form. And you want more information on that, you can call 215-758-1703. And you can find out where to get a CD or a book, okay? And don't forget to go to our website, Elohim Five Tribes Society of Love, because that's where we're coming from. We ain't coming from violence or killing or retribution or none of that, because everything that they've done to us, we've done to them, you know? Each tribe has 3,000 years or old, and none of the tribes did a really good job of that. So hopefully when our turn comes, which is coming up now, when the Black tribe turns come, we'll do a better job than with the white tribe and brown, red, yellow, black tribe before they did, okay? I'd like to give a shout out to Carlos Butler for his book, When Marks Cry Out. I like him because he understands our history and how to put in the missing pieces. Also, he's on YouTube, so you can catch him on YouTube and you can listen to what he's saying as he talks you through what's in the book, okay? Like I said, The Legacy of a Nation will be coming on Saturday by me because Brother Max made transition and I don't know if his son wants to get involved. I'm going to have to get him a call, okay? I also have to give a shout out to his family. She's on YouTube. I'm going to meet her 11th. She has spoken word and she speaks pretty good word. And now she's doing a lot of singing. Can we listen to her face? Shout out to the girl. Let's give a shout out too. The Nikki Love Show. She's a spiritual advisor. She comes on YouTube at Nikki Love Wenom, WNOM. So you can give her a call. Her calling number is 909-749-8626. Okay. And when you call her, she's getting a whole lot of calls because she has fires and things are going on. So when you call her, let her know that you got a number from Elohim on Black Rock Radio. Okay. I'd like to give a shout out to Division 121 for Love Since Then, UNACL 1918, 1929 of the world. Immediate relief for more information, contact President Mark B at UNA 267-822-2320. Okay. And also, I'd like to give a shout out to UAIA, the Arctic Land to Build on in Africa, RBG Industries, and make iron clothes, buttons, flags. So if you want a good tailor-made outfit, give them a call. If you want that red, black, and green flag, give them a call. If you want some buttons, give them a call. I call the number 609-68-5828, okay? I'll give a shout out to Faith More Electronics. That call number is 215-909-3052. You can call them from 9 to 5. They're industrial electricians. They do lights and sockets. You know, bring electricity into the house and all that stuff, you know. Also, he do alarm systems. He do alarm systems as well, okay? Okay, I'd like to give a shout-out to Thomas Thornton, right under the name T. Thornton. He has an old-school style Philadelphia. He has 6 CDs on the market. Just Google YouTube, Heaven 219 T.E.E. Thornton. For information, just give him a call. 267-259-4077. Mentioned Black Park Radio, so you know where you got the number. Okay. I'd like to give a shout out to Taylor Pat Learning Academy. Licensed, certified, she's an EMT. who is currently in medical school and will soon be a doctor. Philip Beth has before and after school service in the West Philadelphia area. So for best quality child service, give her a call at 215-594-3081, okay? Her email address is philip.learningacademy@gmail.com, all right? I also like to give a shout-out to our resident naturopathic healers. We got Dr. Paul. His number is 215-779-7355. If you give him a call, he will give you a nutrient chart. For your chart, you affect it right to you. And during the pandemic, we need to eat a little better. So we need to, you know, give him a call, see what's going on. Also, Dr. Bill has number 61561-3864. He has, what do you call it? He does water purification systems. So if you want purified at Scoopville Punch, yeah, give him a call and get your water system, okay? So if you're sick and don't have these guys on speed dial, man, you need to be sick. Nobody needs to be sick. So give them a call and don't worry. Be healthy. Okay. All right. So now I'm gonna go to the full topic on a good way for people to get out of what they're in. Okay. First of all, debt. Debt is not a good thing, okay? Debt is not a good thing, all right? So don't be in a hurry to get into debt, because we don't think debt is good. You want to stay debt-free, period. And the best way to stay debt-free is to put the habit in your mindset when you first come out of school, okay? All right, now, this is what you do when you come out of high school, all right? You get that first job, you might not be making more about $10,000 a year. You work two jobs, okay? You get that second job, right? And you put yourself on the 50% budget. You live off one job and you save the money for the other job. And 2 years of working three jobs, that means you won't get a day off for 2 years, but you only have to, if you schedule it properly, you only have to work two jobs, 3 days, double shifts, 3 days a week, okay? The rest of the days, you're just working a single shift. So for 4 days, you're working a single shift, and 3 days, you're working a double shift, okay? You do this for 2 years. After the second year, right, you'll have $20,000 because you're making around $10,000 a year. I know you got to come to the night $40,000 a year, but we ain't talking about them, although they need to get on that 50% budget as well. So you have $20,000, sure, sale, foreclosure. That's where you go. You go and bid on one of these cheap properties. You're looking for a three-story building, right? You bid on one of these properties. You get a three-story building, right? And what you do, you live on the first floor in the basement. You funk it out. You funk out the first floor in the basement. It's like having a three-story house. You feel me? And then you rent the other two floors out. Now you have what we call residual income. Somebody working and paying you rent. That's what we're talking about. And now with that, your income, what you can make, is actually unlimited. You're working two jobs. That's a place to live. You got renters up and on two floors up. You got renters up there. So now all of your bills are being paid. You feel me? So you'll get to the point whereas you only have to do one job. Okay? You can purchase another property. You build up, purchase another property, give you two properties. One property you're living in and renting out, and another property the whole building is rented out. Okay? So you keep that going until you no longer have to work at those jobs that you've been working at. You know, now you have free time to go to school, study, to just keep your property going or whatever you're trying to do. You can learn. Now you can spend that time learning and studying. Okay, studying what? What do you want? How much do you want? Where are you trying to go? You know what I'm saying? Because you're really an unlimited person right now. You can make as much as you want, or you just keep adding property on. You feel me? Now, you have to figure out what property that you want, how you want to live, period. So you want the first property that you're buying are money-making properties, all right? That's not really where how you want to live. You might want a three-car garage with swimming pool and all that, you know? If you want all that, figure out how much that costs. Figure out how many properties that you have income coming in from to live the way you want to live. You do that, you get the property going on, and then you purchase that house, or what we call the dream, purchase your dream house. You can live there, and actually at that point, you have enough income coming in, residual income coming in. You literally can retire at that level if you want. That's if you want to, okay? You got enough money coming in. You don't want for anything. You buy a new car every year. You got the garage full. Everything's being paid for. You're not going crazy buying brand name stuff because you don't really need all that brand name stuff. But you're buying the stuff that you need. And you could stay there forever if that's what you want to do. Or you can build up to where you can build $2 million, $3 million a year, depending on what you're trying to do, okay? But you have the option to do all that just from this system. Just remember, you must save 50% of whatever you're coming in. That way you have, if something goes wrong, you know, half the money that you've been making, you got stashed either in the bank or in a safe, or in a safe in your greenhouse, in the floor, or whatever, wherever you want to put it at, you know. But I don't suggest you keep all your money in the bank, because if you ever have a run on the bank and you try to get that money out, it ain't coming out. And you're putting everything on a doggone card, so you might want to purchase a little bit of gold, a bit of silver, have the stash in your house someplace so you don't really get stuck. Now, since we're talking about money, there's other avenues. Now they're coming out with the digital coin. You know, I call it fake money, but it's working, you know. You can set up your own bank where you can have people buy coins from you. There's other ways to make money now. Okay, you can buy now you can afford to maybe buy some stock on some of the companies that you know are not going to go away anytime soon, you know. So, or you can buy some stock of some brand new company that's going into like the electric car companies. You know, they're not going anywhere, and they're going to do nothing but grow. The battery companies, you know, lithium battery companies, they're going to just grow, okay? The companies that are dealing with space and space technology, they're just going to grow. But you can buy stock in those things, and that will help build up your assets, okay? So with that, that's a basic system. Now, if you want to go to college, see, you can sit in college. You have the money to go to college. You don't have to go into debt and be owing them $107,000 by the time you graduate. All that stuff will be paid for, you know. Everything depends on what you want, you know, and that's what I'm saying. That's why we do the assertion, and I will get what I want. But you really have to know what you want, okay? So, so there we have it, okay? And where's all this here coming from, Brother Ibrahim? Where are you getting this information from? Remember, story of Joseph, okay? Joseph told Pharaoh, save half, spend half. He put Pharaoh on a 50% budget, and that budget saved Kemet, okay? So there you have it. That's basically where it's all coming from. And, you know, Joseph's family, you know, they had some of the worst land on the planet, you know. The land they had was terrible. And when the famine hit, what did they do? They had to come to Egypt because Egypt had all the food. Egypt, well, it ain't so much the food, but Egypt had the plan. You know what I mean? And the wherewithal to know that that thing was going to hit. They had a 50% budget, in other words. And that's something that Joseph's family didn't have. And they didn't have the land, and they didn't have the information coming out of the Bible, it seemed like it, if you really deal with the whole story. But we don't get into the story too much. The power of the story is the 50% budget. You know what I mean? There's a lot of little nuances in there when you're dealing with the occult practice. And how when you start to come to power, people go against you, envy, jealousy, the whole nine yards start happening, but we're not going there, okay? We're just basically trying to tell you how to not ever be broke. Now, according to the Bible, poverty is a destruction of the poor. All right, so you can be broke, you can be poor. You know, if you got a job or something, you're poor. You can still eat, you still pay a couple of bills. Can't do much, not much, much of anything else, but you still do that. But when you become poverty stricken, it destroys you. You're eating out of garbage cans, sleeping on the street. You don't know where the next meal comes from. You can't wash. You know what I mean? You don't know what's going on. You're in poverty. That's the destruction of the poor. And if you look around the country, we got so many people not poor but in poverty. Okay, and it just seems like you did a research on it. Seems like the more people that go into poverty, the rich people get. Now. What is it about that? You know what I mean? What makes the rich people rich when the poor people get poorer? It's all about control. Your body, okay? Your body is your slave. You are actually a slave master, okay? When you get into the book, you're incorporeal being, and this flesh is something that you control. It will do whatever you tell it to do. You tell it to go upstairs and jump off a roof. It's going to tell you, yo, man, if I jump, this is going to hurt. But you say jump anyway, and it'll jump. You are actually a slave master. And your body, see, the physical portion of you is where the money comes from. Everybody wants to control you physically. Because if they can control you physically to get you to do what they're telling you to do, they're going to make money off you. You're going to be working and paying them money. You're going to become residual income from them. This is another thing that you have to think about when you're dealing with credit. Who are you getting your credit from? Because credit is residual income for somebody. If you come to me and borrow a couple $1,000 and I charge you 10% interest, I just made residual income off my money. Now my money is working. That's what economics is. Economics is somebody or something working and paying you. Now, if you know this person wants you to be a slave, why would you borrow money off of them? You see what I'm saying? That's why I tell people, you don't borrow money from the loan sharks, you know what I mean, who run around with guns and everything, ready to break your legs if you don't pay them. They're your enemies. You don't borrow money from them. That's crazy. You see what I'm saying? Why put yourself in that position? Okay. So, okay, I'm just going to reiterate. I got about 10 minutes left here. So I'm going to reiterate because I went through the whole thing during this hour. So you have the whole system of how to never, ever be broke and how to accumulate as much money as you want, all right, based on the system that I've given you. Now, one thing that you need to do is, if your parents, okay, now most parents, the 50% budget is hard for them. But you have to start, when you start on the 50% budget, well, no, I'm saying most parents, don't be in a hurry to keep the children out of the house. Let them stay there as long as they can, as long as they, so they can accumulate or stack enough money to do what they want to do, okay? That's what I want to say. But now, most parents are way, way out of line when it comes to the 50% budget. So you have to start cutting back on something. First place you cut back is clothing and your food. Stop buying name brand. Don't buy name brand nothing. Because you're looking at where the name brand stuff is made at. It's made in China, Taiwan, and these places that only cost $10 to make the dog on shoes and clothes and stuff. Look at Ivanka Trump. Children of China using China labor to make them cheap clothes. And you're bringing here, selling for arm and a leg. You don't have to do that. If you want a name brand, you want to put a brand on your clothes, put your name on your clothes. Put your mark on your sneak. Create your own brand. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to have nobody else's brand on their pants. I have people paying. I was talking to my brother. He said, somebody pays $1,600 for a pair of sneaks. I'm saying, duh. I mean, if I was a millionaire, I wouldn't be paying those $1,600, $1,700 for no pair of sneaks. See, that's what I'm saying. Something's wrong with that picture. Something's wrong with our mindset. But to those who are building and trying to get back into this thing economically, right? Remember, economics, not complicated. It's somebody else working and paying you. If you got somebody working and paying you rent, you got economics. If you got somebody working and buying your records, you have economics. If you write a poem and the poem is on the market, somebody's buying your poem, that's economics. Because once you write that poem and they start buying it, you don't have to make the poem no more. Just print copies and keep it going. You know what I'm saying? And if you're making cakes, all right, and you have to be there to make that cake, you don't have economics. What you have is a job. Until you get to the point that you can hire managers and salespeople and all that to do the cakes for you, bakers and everything, where you can sit back and chill, you have a job, all right? A job is good because you need a job to go for the economics, okay? But you have to remember what economics is. Somebody else working and paying you. To me, the best way to get economics is to have somebody working and paying you rent or mortgage. But I'm saying these guys set up these 30-year mortgages. You know, they're making money for the next 30 years. You don't pay three times what the house is worth based on the interest, you know, what they're charging. You follow what I'm saying? That's why they tell you to make a payment and a half a payment to cut back on the primary loan so you can pay your house off quicker. You know, I mean, they got different little techniques for you. You know what I'm saying? But the biggest scam that they're running out there, you got to use somebody else's money. Well, why? Why use somebody else's money when you got a pocket full? Why pay somebody, you see what I'm saying, to use their money when you can pay yourself on that money? Like I told my daughter, look, you're going to buy a car, whatever money you got, go pay cash for it. Open up an account and put whatever interest that you're borrowing your money from to buy the car, and you make a payment to yourself in the bank every month on that car. You know what I'm saying? And before you know it, if the car runs for a while, don't break down, you have enough money in there to upgrade, to buy a new amount of car. Then you keep that going. You have enough money to buy a new amount of car. Before you know it, you can walk down to the dealer and say, hey, I want that car, brand new car, 20, 30, 30. Yeah, this is what I want right here, you know? But it's a matter of discipline. Why let somebody else make money off your money when you can make that money off yourself? You follow what I'm saying? Just remember, okay, I'm just going back over just some of the basics. Of those who are on the line, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much. Let me know that somebody's here. You're by myself. And every Thursday, we talk about this money, you know. We want to talk a little bit about the Bitcoins and all that stuff next Thursday. I didn't really want to get into that because I wanted to go through a whole system so that you would never, ever be broke. Now, this is for the people just coming out of school, coming out of high school. They need to know about the 50-cent budget. If their parents didn't go to college and their parents not making that $50,000, $60,000 a year, they give them money, you know, if I understand, for college and all that, they can work two jobs and get that three-story building, have residual income, and pay their own way through college and stuff without having that big debt. Debt is not good. Now, this system tells you that debt is good. Okay, everything in this society basically runs off of debt, but you don't have to run off of debt. And if you're then when you get so far in debt, they got people that you have to pay to show you how to become debt free. Start off debt free right from the beginning, and don't go into debt. You don't have to. If you're going to borrow money, right? Check to see who you're borrowing money from. All right, you look at all these big institutions run by these rednecks. Okay, I'm not saying all of them. Everybody's running the big institutions, not a redneck. Okay, but people that want you to be their slave, you don't want them to make money off. So look around. Be your due diligence about who you're borrowing the money off of, because you're paying interest on that money. So somebody's making residual income off the money. Your money, their money is working, paying them. And you're the one that's paying them because you're working their money. You don't bought a property or something like that there, you know? Now, a lot of times when you purchase the property, you don't have to go through the bank. You can go to the owner. You're the owner, nice little sizable down payment, and the owner will take back a mortgage. But the owner will become your banker. You make sure you use a lawyer stuff because you want to do the title search and all that. You don't want to run into trouble here. But the owner can take back the mortgage. And you can pay the mortgage to the owner, not to these big institutions that got their foot on your neck, who are lobbying Congress. You don't know what food has GMO in it and all that kind of stuff. You follow what I'm saying? But you have to do some research. You have to, once you know who you are, that's the key to the whole thing. That's why I started off, when I first started talking, I went into Psalm 82 first. You have to know who you are. Once you learn who you are, then you really know what your full responsibility is. God's responsibility is to every man, woman, and child on the planet. Think about that. Food, clothing, shelter, security. That's what it's all about. If you develop an assistant, food, clothing, shelter, and security for the 6.5 billion people on the planet, you think you're going to have trouble feeding yourself? I don't think so. You think you have trouble finding a place for you to live? I don't think so. You're going to be fine because you develop a system as a God would. We talk about Monsanto all the time. Monsanto is feeding millions of people. If they cut the supermarket off the day in the morning, ain't nothing. You don't have enough food in your yard to feed yourself. You will be in trouble. You don't know where to go to food. Most of us don't know. If we go in, look at all of the parks and stuff that's out here. Most of us can go into the park. We wouldn't know what to eat. We wouldn't know what to eat in the park. What berries are good? Which berries are not good? You know, we don't know that if you crack the vine, the vine that has clear juice, you can eat that berry. The vine that has milky juice, that berry is poison. We don't know that. We never had to worry about whether the berry was poison or not. We go into the store, the berry's right there. We just get it, eat it, and make our little pies, and we cool, you know? I'm just giving you a wake-up call. I'm just trying to get you to think, you know, about what's going on, okay? This is what's going on. This is who you are. You are a God. Now, when I say God, I don't mean you can go out here and snap your fingers and a mountain fall falling down. That's the story that they give you about gods and stuff. You are a designer. That's a big deal, being a designer, because you can design what you want to do, whatever you want it to do. That's how bad you are, you know? You're a slang vernacular, but that's how good you are. You are a designer, okay? Man can't fly, so God can. God designed the plane, made the plane, and he's flying. If you look at all the Egyptian hieroglyphs, the women that have the wings, they're sitting down. They're emulating flight from inside a vehicle. If you want to get more into that, they go to Knowledge of the Fair Baton. Okay, just Google that, and then Brother will carry you through a lot of that. We're almost out of time, so I'd like to make my last assertion here. I went through what assertion is, too, in the beginning. I have walked the path, I've read what you saw, and I eagerly embrace all that I have done to come back. So let it be written, so let it be done. Look, we're not sending out texts. We're not sending any texts anymore. You know, if you appreciate what you hear, invite somebody. Tell a friend. You know, this is what we're doing now, okay? Quite a few are calling, and I appreciate that, and I love you so much. And I was wondering why a lot of people weren't saying anything, but the brother was telling me that he didn't want to interrupt the flow because the flow was so good, he just wanted to listen. So that's cool. But remember, if you have questions or anything, you can always, you know, give me a call, 215-758-1703. You can give me a call now. Just give me a call because I'm answering the phone. A lot of times when the calls come in, it's a scam, but it don't always be a scam. You know, some people call in, the number's not there, and they can't see the bathroom. I don't know what system they're using out there. The software end of the computer age, that's not me. Now, I can build a computer, but when I need the software to run it, that's something different. I have to call somebody, you know. Unbelievable. But anyhow, just remember, love is the act that make others feel good. So if you're in a group, if you're in a relationship, if you have children, ask yourself every day, what can I do to make them feel good, okay? So we'll be here tomorrow, and I will chit-chat with you again tomorrow, and I want to say much love.